Accession number 30342, reel 5.
Running up now, wasn't it?
But he was actually attached to your unit.
To my unit, yeah.
Because
I think it was there very long. Mm-hmm. You probably just come there like as a visitor or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we thought it was a bit of a namby-pamby, considering the tough regiment you come from. Mm-hmm. We proved otherwise by running all the way back and things like that.
But you didn't, when you were out socialising in the pub and that, you wouldn't be running, would you?
Oh, no. So you didn't really... didn't do that sort of thing.
Yeah. So you wouldn't actually mix with other other, you know, you wouldn't be like, you would always just be with your own...
Well, you say that, I'll probably say, as in the 60s, I was in B Company. If I go in a pub, there's probably lads from C Company or D Company, whatever, in there, and you may get to know them. There was one lad come from Jarrah, and it was Tim Kelly, and he used to be a postman, apparently, when he got before he went in the army. And he was driving, he was a bed carrier, you see. And he always carried a 10 bob note in his wallet for to get a mass sent for his mum. Church, see, but he would never ever break that money that was kept for his mass. Have a mass in. Went to this pub one time in Rye, and I bought drinks, somebody else bought drinks on it. When it comes to Tim's turn, it was getting on near the closing time. He went and ordered £5 or whatever it was in the room. He says, "Now," he says, "I haven't got any money to pay for these, but we're going to drink them." Big guy. He says, "Well, I'll be in tomorrow." So the bloke looked at Tim and thought, "Hey, hey." But Tim went there the next day, but he's quite out of it. He was going to drink them. And he was, you know, he'd pay for them the next day. But he wouldn't drink that 10 pound note. And took the gun again. When they got in the front line, actually in the front line, we were pinned down as when they got, and he'd come along in his Brent carrier. "What the hell are you doing in there, back of that trap?" He said, "Oh, come on, bugger there." He said, "Jump with me so we'll go away." No, come on. He said, "Come on." He said, "Come on." I didn't. And that was the day I got took prisoner. But Tim was, I don't know what happened to Tim at all.
And he was, but he was in a different, he was in the carrier platoon, I see.
Yeah, it must have been the carrier platoon. But that was his bloke, was beating the pub, not him. Probably met with church and things like that, I don't recall actually where.
So you were able to get out at least a little bit. When you were down at Rye.
Oh yes, we used to go to different places and go to Hastings. That was when I met that regimental sergeant major Thomason. I think you know Thomason, but it's Thomason.
What do you mean? To tell us that story?
Well, there was a friend of mine, bucker in the army. I think his name was Burns, big lad, just bigger than 6 foot at the time, and put up for a weekend pass to go to Hastings. So. He says, okay, so I put the passes in the company office, but they go on Saturday morning to get the passes in, obviously. And the company office, and, well, he said, he hadn't seen them last. He says, I'll tell you what, he says, we're on the cricket field there now. He says, go and see me, he says, I'm going to sign the pass. So I said, okay, so I've got the passes and walked towards the cricket field. And by that time, we're coming off the cricket field. We were dressed in their whites and things like that, which they do for cricket. We were just there. I went straight to the officer and said, "Excuse me, sir, but you didn't sign the pass. Would you mind signing it?" "Oh, no, no, yeah, sign the pass. Thank you very much indeed, sir." And just as walking away, the little white shows, "Hey, come here. Don't you know when you're not supposed to approach an officer before you approach the sergeant and make it an RSM?" "I didn't realise, sir," I said, "because you're in your whites." I said, "Look at that passes." He took them up and just tore them up. So you couldn't go to Hastings that day. But we went anyway. Bugger him, sort of thing, he said. It was the same thing. Go. But mind this lad went. Next morning, we had a call. Well, he asked us to come in the office the next morning. Went there the next morning and he asked us, would you be prepared to take his punishment? We knew the report he had about him being a professional boxer. And anybody who went in front of me gave a really good going over. And I thought, it's not good, like me trying to fight Joe Lewis or somebody like that. You know? So I says, no. And he called it, tried to get, no, Tommy wouldn't do it either, Tommy Burns. So we've got some task we had to do and things like that. But he was tearing a pastor up, being on all week, doing everything just right and all that. And he just did be down dog when he tore up. And I says, "Good lads, have a good day and all that."
Who was the officer?
It could have been Major Hills or somebody like that. I don't know. It could have been something like
that. So was that? I mean, he was Thomason was a regimental sergeant.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, you see.
Did you have any contact with him before that? Or did he make his presence felt in the companies, or was he just somebody that was like?
Well, nobody liked him, because if the sergeant's done anything wrong, he'd put him on the charge if he didn't go in a boxing ring with him or that. And he would fight them in black of eyes and green down nose and all that sort of thing.
So that was his preferred punishment, was to
for him, to get the, you know, because you see, he was an all-round athlete. He could run, he could jump, he could swim, he could box, whatever it was, he could do it, he could do it well.
Was there anybody that maybe he might be afraid of punishing who could get in the boxing room? And
No. That George Jennings I mentioned before, what was in training camp, he knocked his coat flat on his back. The one that had the girlfriend and all that, and he couldn't say, oh, if that's the way to do it, he says, and that, you know. But I wonder he would have got up with Thomason, because he was a big, strong lad versus Dave Jennings. He might have took him on and all that, you know. But he didn't have any boxing skills at all, just had a hard thump, you know.
So, how often would you see Thomason, you know, on the daily routine at this stage? Would he be.
Well, he's to examine you on gardening and he picks little things up and all that, you know. Unfortunately, I kept out of his way after that. I didn't sort of cross swords with my lord and that. You know.
What about your company sergeant major? Could you just talk a little bit more about him, Etherington?
Oh, Spike, yeah. He was a good bloke, but he had a very, very foul mouth.
He told us on the telephone about, can you tell us that story about the girlfriend's wedding and so on?
Oh, yes, yeah. On church parade, when we played the playing fields, they're called the Salts, that was in Rye, probably still is in Rye, of course. And you go there dressed up to go on church parade and things like that. And the guys that didn't go to church went that way, and we went this way, of course. There was girls waiting at the boys and all that, you know. And the sergeant, before the time was walking down, he turned on the girl, he says, F off, he says, and really, no punch at all, that, you know. Bang, and I was screaming, shouting at them, all that, you know. We just stood there, couldn't do a darn thing about it. And that's how you don't do anything about it. Basically, he wasn't a bad guy.
So he wouldn't, you didn't have any problems with in terms of if he picked you up on a detail,
would pick on you, but see, would you get any chores done or that, you know, anything, nobody around there to see, you would do that and find a spot with or something. But what I liked about him was, he'd say, you're going on leave tomorrow. He says, there's an early train at 5:30 in the morning, but I don't want to see you on it. Which meant I wouldn't be there. So he wouldn't see me. Because you had to be, you know, a bit crazy. What do you think? So you weren't okay.
So he was well liked.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Mm. And when you went abroad, you thought you liked him all the more.
Yeah. What about the other NCOs? Can you remember your platoon sergeant?
Sergeant Dowell. We used to call him Sandy Powell because Sandy Powell was a comedian at that time.
What was he like?
And apparently he was just a window kid. I'm not wrong with being a window kid, don't get me wrong. Like, but when he said talk, he says, I know you chaps are only privates, you see. And I'm a sergeant. He said, you should be very, very proud of being a private. That, you know, which is abuse, you know. And he... One time, getting back when abroad again, he managed to get in the stream sometime. We were sleeping in the stream, and there was all kinds of shooting and things going on. Fortunately, the stream was down below, and he couldn't get out of there, and he stood there for 3 or 4 hours. And he got over it, I think, you know. But he was all right, you know.
So he was stuck in this?
He was stuck in the stream for 3 or 4 hours.
On his own, without?
On his own, because everybody else scrambled out.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah. And at that time, we were on training, and there was quarries there that had been digging quarries, and quarries could be, I think, 15, 20 foot deep or more. And you had to go across the stream, full of water, you know, and you had to go across with your rifle and pack and things like that. Thing. What you should do is get your gas kit and your Bren gun and things like that, whatever, and put them under, try and take more the water with it. And of course, if they found the water, had to go down all that depth to pick up and things like that, you know. And quite often they used to go down and that, you know, and had a feather job to find them and all that. And he used to be standing. There was one time, one of the lads was floating in the water, and the sergeant towel. He jumped up and took it down, fully clothed in the water. And of course, by the time he got in the water and come out again, the guy had managed to get out. So I spanked the sergeant major. Said to him, right, he says, you can walk back. So he had to walk back to the barracks. They went let him go in the truck, and they had to walk back, fully soaked to the skin, and all that. And they tried to save another life. He said, I'm getting a reward. He made him walk back, and all the chafing of the truck, their old carpet shorts were on here, and all that, you know, all red rollies. His legs saying that, you know.
So even a sergeant could get...
Oh, yes, indeed, yeah. Pony punches up his spike. Mm.
What about you? So that's Sergeant Dowell. Any other NCOs that stick in your mind?
Well, that's what Sergeant Dowell I'm telling you about.
Yeah, but there was besides Dowell and Etherington, anyway.
Well, Bill Greaves, even though I was running quite well, come from Charlotte, wasn't a bad lad at all.
Was he in your platoon as well? Or
just, yeah, he was in my platoon, yeah. And
what was he like then? What do you remember about him?
I liked Bill. He was all right. He was talking as a friend, like, and the next thing he'd say, sergeant from you, and you had to sort of behave yourself and all that. Yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, sergeant, no, sir. No, you know. And he would say, yeah, no, I've got to do this, you see, no, later on.
So, when you were kind of having your nights out, when you were going to the pub and so on, if you saw the likes of Sergeant Dowell or Sergeant Greaves or Sergeant Major Etherington in the pub, would they come and sit with you? Were you allowed to mix
up? Oh, I'll tell you what, no, Sergeant Major was a good player at darts, you see, and he was always winning. So he played this, I think it was Mackay or somebody, one of the lads was playing. And of course, if you lost, you had to buy him a pint, you see. And of course, he never lost. So when he lost his team, he wouldn't dare try to get a pint, because, you know, because he was Sergeant Major, you know. So he says, well, boy, I've been beaten now. He says, what do you want to have? So the three of us, whatever pint, Corby was upset about that. Next day, I run up and down the road, right above my head, and all that stuff. This place looked like that. You know.
What about your corporals and your lance corporals? Because some of the veterans have talked about, you know, they were worse because they were always itching for another stripe. They were actually worse.
Well, yeah, but we had one fella, a lance corporal Webb, and you see, we should get coupons for your soap rash and things like that. And they say hand soap coupons out. But if they stop rationing soap, Corporal Webb would lose his stripe because he wasn't bright at all. It's a really kick in the gut of him. That, you know. But he was a hard little man. But, you know, he couldn't tell short of a roof, I think, and that, you know. Pick the short of a sandwich, as I say, and sandwich short of a picnic and that. You know. But otherwise, he got him already. But he was an old soldier. He'd been there for some time. You know.
Could you just describe just how a platoon was organised? You know, just how many men there would be, what the roles would be?
There were 30-odd men in a platoon. 9 privates, one corporal, and a sergeant. And that's in the section. And, no, there's only one sergeant across the platoon, yeah. Lance corporal and the full corporal. In each section, there were 3 sections, A, B, and C, or 5, 6, and 7, whichever they were. That was made up between 3 sections. And, like I said, a corporal and a lance corporal and the privates and men, you know. And that was all we got pretty well together that way.
I should have asked you earlier, the 2-inch mortar, did you train on that?
The mortar?
2-inch mortar, the little portable one.
That's right, yeah.
What do you remember about that?
You got pretty clear with that, but to finish, you could put so many mortar shells over there at once and things like that. You know? Mm. Yeah, we did that training, yeah.
Now, apparently there was the battle school down on the south coast. Did you have any truck with that? Any?
Yeah, there was that there. That was a tough course to go on. You know, like the salt course and things like that, it really was.
Did everybody go on it, or did you volunteer, or did they work?
I think everybody went on it in my battalion, I think. You had to crawl on it, you had to climb up, jump over the top somewhere, and I think I told you about putting a rifle sling, come down, you had to do that. You had to go through, what you had to do, there was a load of barbed wire standing about 2 foot high or 3 foot high, in the rolls. What you had to do, the first one had to go there and lie on it, full stretch, keep the weight down, and then mates had to walk up your back and go over the side. You know, just lie down the bar where they lie down like that, and you're lying flat with your arms so stretching, the bar should walk along your back and get across the side of the get in the way. And we're here at that experience report, that's quite true.
Now, with the, you know, this is, we're in like 1942 now, what was people's morale like? I mean, were you following the war news, you know, from the desert and from Russia and so on, or were you just getting on with
it? You know, I don't think going abroad entered your mind a great deal. It tried to push it out your mind, I think, probably.
And in the 16th Battalion, I mean, you'd all come down, you're all like local men from the northeast. Apparently, within the battalion, there were like men from all over the place. Do you remember people from else? Any other? Oh, the other people that
were. There was a lot of people from Basin House come and joined us. And some of them were showers as well, I believe. And one lad, a Welsh lad, obviously called him Taffy Williams. And he was the only Welshman there. And him and I got in quite well together. And now and again, you sort of abscond away, you know. And what I would do, he would go away on a Friday night or whatever night he could. And I would make his bed the next day, and sort of, so he wasn't absent, and that, you know, till they finally he got caught up, things like that, you know.
How did he get caught?
And, well, I don't think he got caught up very often, but I covered him up for a great deal for him and that. And another Welshman come and join the regiment, and he dropped me like a hot potato to get back with a fellow Welshman sort of thing, and that, you know. Still, but they weren't like that in the Finns, they were just sort of acquaintances and friends and that, you know. But I used to come up and make his bed and things like that. So the longer he was away, the less he was away by making his bed and things like that. Tidying up for him.
Are there any other kind of personalities in the company that you haven't mentioned, any other names that...
Well, I mentioned today about Enoch. The one that used to smoke a cigarette, and he never took the cigarette out of his mouth, and he says, this is rye, and he says, stir the big load of porridge, and the cigarette ash would just drop in, and he goes, way, all that, you know.
Did nobody complain about it, though?
Get his head, it just so heavy, and all that, you know. He said, give me a rollick, and all that, you know.
You mentioned Colonel Ware earlier on. Did you have much contact with him, apart from the incident of the route march? Did he make his presence felt at all to the company?
No, not really. He didn't sort of... I can't think of anything that, but the fact that we could have all got a left back, but the DLIs didn't do any... They were petrol feet in the fires. We marched back and he never marched at all, his father. His horseman took all his troops.
So he never actually marched himself?
Not aware of, anyway. Yeah. Not I was aware of.
So what did people think about him? What was he? Was he popular or unpopular?
Well, of course, it happened great deal. The door went till the on that particular march when they got us all to march back again. Your dad would probably tell the same story because he's in the same battalion.
Did you think anything about promotion? Or did your friends think anything about promotion?
No, I don't know what it would be. I wanted to stay with my friends. Once you got promoted, you sort of left your mates and all that. And the guy that got on with quite well was, didn't want to hear me from him. So.
What about officer training? Did you or anybody that you know ever consider that, thinking about putting
I
in?
I can't recall anyone.
Would it be something that you'd have discussed or thought about? Or?
Well, I mean, see, the way I talk, my accent, my dialect, and the education I had wouldn't have been pretty good. I was only an elementary sort of thing, 52 kids in the class and things like that.
So it had never occurred?
No.
Yeah. What about sport in the battalion? I mean, you've mentioned Thomason and his prowess with the boxing gloves.
Yeah.
Did they encourage kind of team games and so on? Was there any of that going on in the company?
You said, what do you call it? Was it fly boxing or something? Well, it was, or billing, they call it, billing boxing. You got in the ring, and your two blokes got picked to go in the ring, and you had to knock hell out of another for 1.5 minutes, and you get out, two more going, but you call it milling, in, out, in, out. And no matter who you got picked with and all that, What disabused me was to get weighed. You used to weigh with tins of meat, tins of corned beef. Big tins, so they put a couple extra tins on for you. You made, you know, you had a big broken
tin. Now describe that. What do you mean when they weighed with it?
Well, they had, you see, they didn't know how to, they hadn't got a weighing machine as such. Mm-hmm. So you stand on this scale, and this stand here, and they put so many tins of corned beef.
So it was like a traditional two-sided scale.
Yeah, so it's just when it went down. They didn't take any off, mind. No. But you know, that was it. Yeah.
Mm. So they tried to match you with somebody of similar build.
Yeah, but it didn't work. You may get a broken 9 stone girl with a guy 10 and a half stone, something like that. You know.
Did anybody get hurt, like seriously hurt in these things?
No. We got a busted nose and probably a black eye and things like that. You know.
So who would organise that? Would that be at the company level or would it be?
That's coming on with your PT, though, I should think, really. Yeah.
Did you have a specialist?
Doctors used to sit in the building, you know, and they used to say, get in. And you had been caught, you had to get in there and then, and fight like hell for a minute and a half, up, in, and probably a whole lot of the platoon was going the same night, you know, just jump in and fight.
Were you able to kind of like pull your punches so that you wouldn't hurt your friends in that?
Well, you know, you couldn't do that because there was a sergeant major and that's all the guys around it, you wouldn't be able to do that at all.
Would you ever have to fight your NCOs, or would it always be just the private soldiers?
Oh, just the private soldiers.
And the officers would never...
Oh, no, to my knowledge.
Yeah. What about things like football and cricket? I mean, you mentioned cricket.
Well, you see, I was never a good footballer. I had a brother who was a very good footballer. He was getting trialled for Wolves and all that years and years ago. But I was never very good. And when it came to sports, like, I put me down for football. Oh no, you see, you can't play football, so I'll put you down for a dead ball, some game like that. I said, that's a soft game, I said, is that the way we played? And I found out it wasn't, because by hell. As soon as you got the ball, I think that the real of hell out, you know, that sort of thing. You know. And I thought, yeah, that was a pretty tough game.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just watching a guy, you probably want me to pay him shortly.
You probably just it. We're talking about Rye and Winchelsea, and you know, that's you mentioned earlier the sniper's course you went on. Could you talk about that in a bit more in detail? I mean, did you volunteer for it, or how did it come about?
Well, I didn't actually volunteer because, like I said, never volunteer in the army. You learn that after being a little while. But there was three was picked out of the platoon, and the three I was a poor shot because. McKay was a good shot, and some cop, like, or somebody else. But anyway, those three of us went there, and that was at Winchelsea. And the day, what I liked about that was, even the bookshee private, no matter how low rank he was and all that, when he went on that particular course that day, the officers, whoever they were, he was the one that was in charge, and you could tell them just what to do, call them a bloody fool and anything like that. Which you try to be canny at the course. But that's what I enjoyed about it.
How long did the course last?
Must have lasted about a week, I suppose.
And what did you learn on? Could you tell us what you...
What
they actually taught you?
Well, it taught to be a sniper, because you got cross rifles one time, you know.
That was one on your sleeve?
Yeah.
Marksman?
Yeah. I wore them once or twice, but I didn't wear them a lot.
So that was you. That was an option. You didn't need to put them on if you didn't want to.
Well, no. You didn't have to. But I went to the sniper's course. And I passed out on the sniper's course, but I didn't become a sniper.
So what did they teach you? How did they do it? What were they learning?
Well, they taught you the art of camouflage, and how to see without being seen, and things like that. You know, and how to lie deathly quiet and move very very slowly. They got and shooting. The difference, you got quite a good shot, really.
Did you have the telescopic sight, or was it...?
Well, some cases it did, but basically it was just along the Enfield, and once you got the armourer to set the tip of the foreset with the back of the amateur, whichever that was, and all that, you know, you could get a decent shot.
So what kind of distance would you be...
Well,
the targets, how far were they away?
A box of matches, 50 yards away, you'd have no trouble hitting that at all. You know, which was quite good. You know.
Were your instructors in the battalion, or were they from somewhere else?
Oh no, It must have been in a bit tidy, but it weren't a big company. But I didn't know them, you know. And that was a enjoyed that. But you could get me some very, very good shots and things like that.
What do you think it took to be a good shot? What made a good shot? Because obviously, so a lot
well,
of
you
them
see,
weren't.
What handicapped me was the fact that all rifles were right-handed rifles, and I was left-handed. So whenever I had to take a shot and reload, I had to put my hand over, which consequently the rifle was moving about. And I wasn't very good at all. I got to learn a hand, and the sergeant major said, okay, just take your time. But of course, you can't always take your time. And I started to get both sides and things like that, and I'm maybe quite good and quite sort of big headed and all that. But start again, he said, miss it all together, he give you a kick up the arse. You should do better than that. But on the whole, I got to be quite a good shot. But Mackay was the best shot, and the Sergeant Major was the best shot in the end.
That was Edmund,
yeah. He was very, very good. But I remember one time I was on leaving South Shields there, and I went to the seafront, and I had an amusement arcade, and I guess the rifles there. And of course, them rifles there, hopeless, you know. And of course, when you're a good shot, or, you know you've got a target, you know you should hit it. And of course, when it would go away somewhere, you realise that were. And I remember there, I was in a uniform, and don't suppose I had this, I can't recall if I had or not. And I could hardly hit the target in some cases. Oh, good job, good Navy, you know, that sort of thing, you know, which was a bit embarrassing, but there we are. That shows the funny side of it, not. Because the receive rifles were hopeless on the safe run.
Was there any other specialist courses that you went on, or that other people went on?
Oh, I went on a CADA. Yeah, okay. I went on a CADA course for some reason. That's a couple of them. Okay, got a couple. I went on a course, but I didn't make the grade. I didn't want to make the grade, so I don't know what happened with that. I didn't get made up anyway.
Where was this at?
That would be in Winchelsea or Canberra or somewhere like that.
And what were they teaching you at the CADA?
Well, teaching the sort of how to handle the men and things like that. But I don't think I was particularly interested in it because it means leaving your mates. And you got that thick with a friend, what you call your worker, you're like sticking together with what happened and all that. You know, you wouldn't, if you was in the canteen, you're in the canteen. If you were in Australia, you were washing up. But just like that, like same as twins, you're never part of it at all, hardly. You know. If you get your hair cut, he would really get done or get to go to dentist or whatever, you would do a partner.
So who were your best friends at this time?
I think Mackay was the one that was he always remember when we lived at Rye, I used to get parcels from home. There's things called corporate hair second most of vacant send them down. And he used to get them and take his share. Even before the parcel myself, if you wanted to send 14, it would be 7, I would have 7 left when I got there. And he got married one week, the following week went to the christening or something like that, you know, had a baby by this girl. And she couldn't have been very bright because she sent a parcel and it was for this parcel. And when he got the parcel and opened up, it was all sticks of shaving soap. And, one stick of shaving soap will last you forever. So, wasn't bio soap, we used to use a shaving soap for washing with something like that. And of course, in no time at all, I'd use soap, and we'll shave with the floor soap that it scrubbed the floors with and that, you know. But his wife sent all that shaving soap, so she couldn't have been very sharp and that, you know. That's Mackay.
Did any of your friends from Bransworth?
Barney Munro, him and I, he'd gone quite well as well, you know. And Teddy Edwards, it was quite good. You know, one fellow called Wilson, he adopted us in a sense, and Mackay had done something wrong, and this bloke had shopped him, and he got put in the clink or something for 4 or 5 days, and this bloke had shopped him,